morning, or afternoon, or whatever time it is where you are at this present time. This is Bob Driggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to have the opportunity to come into your presence and to share with you the good news of the eternal God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished, that is, completely furnished unto all good works. A wonderful basic truth concerning the eternal God and concerning this treasure that God has given to mankind, which is the Word of God, written in form that we human beings can read, can learn from, can comprehend, can grasp, can come to an understanding of Almighty God. Now we're continuing to think a little bit about this doctrine of Almighty God. This is a basic truth of the Word of God, coming to know and understand who the eternal God is. And we want to just consider a little more about the eternal God today. One fact about the Lord God is that He is omniscient. Omniscient means He's all-knowing. There's not anything that Almighty God does not know. He knows everything about you, my friend. He knows everything about me. There's nothing that's hidden from Him. We read in 1 John in the New Testament, one of the little short books right in front of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Yes, beloved, God knows everything about you and everything about me. Psalm 139 gives us more insight concerning the Lord God. This was a psalm that was written by David, one of the kings, the great king of Israel. David wrote this psalm, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down setting. That is, the Lord knows so much about you, my friend, that He knows when you sit down. And mine uprising, He knows when you get up. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Now think about that, my friend. The Lord even knows the thoughts that are going through your mind. Even right now, He knows the very thoughts that you are thinking. That's how great our God is. That's how amazing He is. That's His omniscience. In Proverbs 15:3, we read, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You see, beloved, God knows what's going on in your life. God knows what your plans are for today. God knows whether what you're going to do is right or whether it's wrong. He knows whether you're planning to do some things that you know in your heart are not right, that are evil, that are going to hurt somebody else, or may hurt you. God knows everything about you and me. Listen to what He says in verse 3 of Psalm 139. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. That is, the Lord surrounds our walking. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. Thou surroundest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Think about that. God's acquainted with all of your ways. He knows everything you're thinking about doing, where you're going to go today, the people that you're going to meet today. He knows everything about it. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. If you speak a curse word, God knows it. If you take God's name in vain as a word of exclamation or a word of astonishment, God knows you're dishonoring Him by using His name in a flippant manner. God knows every word that we speak. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thine hand laid thine hand upon me. You see, beloved, God knows all about you and me. David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. That is, it was just more than he could grasp, more than he could really get in his thinking, that God knows everything that's going on in my life and in your life at the same time. It's an amazing fact that's hard for our little minds to grasp and comprehend about Almighty God. And yet, beloved, he loves us. He loves us, for that's the character of God. We're told over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 that God is love. That's who God is. God is love. And He loves every human on the face of this earth, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are. God loves you. God desires to see your life transformed and set free from the bondage and the control and the dominion of sin that warped and twisted your life and made your life so miserable and so wretched. Sin is the enemy of every one of us, beloved. And when we yield to it, when we give in to its evil suggestions, when we do those things that we know are wrong and we shouldn't do, it's to our own hurt and to our own suffering and sorrow. Oh, beloved, that's why God loves us and so much sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that old rugged cross with you and me in mind, placing the sins of mankind upon Jesus as He paid the penalty for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And so Jesus became our substitute. He died under the judgment of Almighty God. Because God is holy, He must judge sin, beloved. He must judge it. And that's why Jesus took our judgment. He took our penalty. He took our place. And through believing in Him and what He did for us, we're made pure and clean and holy. For we're told the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Because the blood represents the life of Jesus. You see, we're told in the book of Leviticus that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood on that old rugged cross and gave His life for you and for me. And so, beloved, God loves us. Now, believe me, there's a big difference between love and lust. Lust is what men often do because of sin that takes love and twists it and distorts it and makes love into that which is selfish and self-centered. Lust is selfish and self-centered. But God's love, real agape love, is the kind of love that makes a person who loves an object look out for the best interest of that object that is loved. God's love is not selfish and self-centered. God's love looks out for the one that is loved and seeks the best for the one that is loved and puts the one that is loved over and above their self. That's the kind of love that God desires to have shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of love when we believe in Jesus and accept Him as Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God comes into our spirit and will produce that kind of love so that we will love others. And if we will yield to the Holy Spirit, we will put others before ourselves. We will seek the good of others above our own good. That's the kind of love that God has for you and for me, beloved. Agape love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains that love even more. Love is kind. Love is not selfish. Love is gentle. Love is compassionate. This is the love of God that is explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you have a New Testament, if you'll turn there and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it will explain to you a little bit of this wonderful love that God has for mankind. As a matter of fact, as we close this broadcast, let me just read it to you briefly. This wonderful love in 1 Corinthians, and I'm in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here we read concerning love. Love suffereth long, that is, it's long suffering, and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up, that is, God's love is not proud. God's love is not arrogant. God's love does not look down on other people, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity or sin, but rejoiceth in the truth. God's love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God's love never fails. Beloved, that's the kind of love that God has for you. And He loves you so much that right now, if you'll ask Him, He will send His Holy Spirit into your heart to do the work of salvation by your recognizing Christ died for your sin, was buried, and arose from the grave, that you, by faith in Him and accepting Him, might be forgiven. So right now, ask Him to come in. Till next time, goodbye.